Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 14 of Bill's story in the Big Book, and we're on paragraph 1 today. We're going to unpack that single paragraph. It begins with simple but not easy. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Stephanie L., the 12 traditions, Kelly F., and reading the text today and being support is Russ M., Wendy B., and John K. The share ID number for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, that would be Monday, March 18th, 2019, 10 a.m., share ID 12672, 12,672. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting, that would be Tuesday, March 19th, 2018, 7 a.m., 12675, 12,675. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie L. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. I will now ask Kelly F. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Kelly F., compulsive overeater in Southern California, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting for the recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and this would include the star 1 on your phone keypad rather than muting your own handset. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 14, paragraph 1. It starts with simple but not easy. And I'll ask Russ M. to read that paragraph and then share his experience with that paragraph. Hi, Russ.
Good morning, Mel. Good morning, my fellows. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater outside of Philly. Simple but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light, who resides over all of us. Simple but not easy. Oof. So, just got to do the work. You know, you just got to do the work. That's when I hear that, it's like these things are challenging. We're working on ourselves. We're digging deep. And it's painful to do that. And it is difficult. It is hard to look at the truth about yourself. You know, I was so self-centered that I didn't realize I was self-centered. You know, I was so immersed in myself, I couldn't see that I was about myself. And I had good intentions until I started working this program. And, you know, I got to keep that to a minimum every day because it still comes up, even out of the food. And it's about surrender. It's about surrender. It's about giving it to God and just laying everything down to God, taking your control out of it, which is the hardest thing to do, right? So it's a hard thing. It's embedded in us. We're wired this way, that we have to control. We have to. Well, I don't know. I'm wired that way. I'm sorry to make a blanket statement like that. I'm wired that way, that I have to control everything, and that I have to be the maker of everything and the guy who fixes everything. And it's hard to do. But see, with the program, right, it's simple but not easy. Part of that simple and not easiness is finding these things out, having awareness, and working towards it every day to take, to chip away yourself and to help others. That's the I believe in my heart of hearts that's the purpose of the whole deal. Not just getting out of food and not just not being crazy, but serving someone else and serving God. You know, it's selflessness. It's hard. It's a hard thing. I can't say it. You know, I'm perfect at this, but at least I have this program to keep me on my toes and keep me accountable and to live the life that God wants me to live. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much. Love you.
Thank you, Russ. Appreciate that. The lines are now open for others to comment on paragraph 1, the top of page 14. Simple but not easy. I'll take some names.
John K.
Joni B.
John K. And then Jenny. Is that what I heard?
Jamie.
J-O-N-I.
J-O-N-I.
Joni.
Hi.
Yes.
Jana M.
Jana.
Shawnee B.
Sherry K. B.
Sherry K. B. One more.
Shawnee B.
I got you, Shawnee. Thanks so much. Okay, that's what we got. John K., Joni B., Jana M., Shawnee B., and Sherry K. B. Come on, John. Cheer up.
Good morning, Melanie. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Somebody's unmuted.
John, I think we lost you. Would you press star one just real quick, like, please, and get back up with us?
I'm sorry. I thought I had done that. Good morning. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. You know, today's reading, I always say that this is the price tag. You know, the price tag for abstinence and sobriety. You know, simple but not easy. A price has to be paid. It is the destruction of self-centeredness, you know. That's the price tag. And as hard as we try, you know, we can't shoplift the solution. We have to pay the price tag or we don't. You know, I sometimes talk to newcomers who are really battling with the higher power concept, and I'll tell them, let's reframe things. What if instead of God and higher power, you say another power, a power other than myself? You know, I mean, greater power, other power, let someone else decide what's greater or lesser. Let's just focus on the fact that we cannot achieve recovery by ourselves, you know. For me, the key to recovery when I was trying to quit, you know, was when I quit trying to define my higher power, admitted I was a lesser power, you know, and this concept followed through with other parts of the step, you know, because I always had a real trouble with that concept of turning it over. Now, I mean, how can you turn something over, you know, or something to something you don't either believe in or you have such a nebulous understanding of? I mean, it just sounds not very logical, you know, but what if I reframed it? What if instead of talking about the active action of turning my will and my life over, I went with the converse? You know, I looked at it from the opposite direction. You know, I won't try to turn it over. I'll just get out of the way, you know, stop trying to control people, places, and things, and you know, life in general, you know, because it hadn't worked up very well up until then. You know, it wasn't exactly a tough decision. You know, I mean, you don't ask the guy who drove your car into the ditch to help drive it out, you know. And it was this concept, getting out of the way rather than turning it over, that helped me get a better idea what this book is talking about, I think, you know. You know, I'll tell atheists who are trying to understand the program, like a lot of times outsiders, strip away the God and the higher power concept for a minute. Let's just think of the process in more secular terms. This is a program of ego reduction, you know. And if you think about it, at least for me, at the basis of almost all of my character defects, if I scrape away them long enough, is something tied to ego. And if I can understand that my biggest enemy is me, not others, not a higher power, then removing that enemy from the equation can't do anything other than help me, right? And so, you know, that's the way I was able to see it and move forward. Because I wanted the solution, I had to pay the price, you know. And I'm glad I did. Bargain at half the price. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, John K. Appreciate that. Joni B., and then Jana will follow you.
Hi, I'm Joni B., a very grateful recovering compulsive overeater in the state of Washington. You know, I think, you know, I've been in the 12-step rooms for almost 7 years. I'm in the mothership program as well. And and relapse has been part of my story in both programs. And, you know, I've just now come into Vision with a Vision sponsor, and I recently moved. And I'm realizing that this time around in recovery, it is painful. You know, being in a new place where I'm unfamiliar and uncomfortable, and I don't have the things that I've had before when I've tried to recover. And I realized yesterday that place of vulnerability is exactly where I need to be. because I don't like to be in a place where I don't know. And, you know, one of my sponsors said to me, when are you going to let go of all the things that you think you know? You think you know how to stay sober. You think you know how to do this, but you don't, because you keep relapsing. And so I'm really in a place now where I'm trying to strip all of that away and rely on that higher power, because I don't have anything else right now. And I'm grateful to be in that place. And that, and having faith that these promises will come true for me if I do the work, if I pay the price. And it's not easy. But you know what? The things in life that are worth the most are not free. And I'm willing to pay that price today. Thanks, and I pass.
Thank you, Joni B. Jana M., it's your turn, and then Shawnee B. after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning, visionaries. I am Jana M., a compulsive overeater in Phoenix, Arizona. Simple but not easy. What an understatement. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. Well, today is my birthday, my chronological birthday. And this is a day that normally would be a great excuse to have everything be all about me. And if we're here, you know, if the destruction of self-centeredness is the price to be paid, then something's got to go up in its place after that destruction. There's got to be construction of other-centeredness. And so the way that I've started my birthday is with you, with a new sponsee, with focusing first on connecting with others, because in my disease, I isolate. I want to be left alone. I want to draw the shades. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be bothered by your problems. I just want to be focused on me. And today's my birthday. It's a great day to focus on me. And what do I want? You know, what flavors do I want? What effects do I want to give myself? This is how my birthdays really were in the past. And I can really see recovery today because the focus is on others. I am turning my birthday and everything over to the Father of Light, the Spirit, higher power, whom I really just have come to know as unconditional love. Unconditional love is the thing that presides over us all. It's the only thing that I actually make good decisions from. You know, in the program, when I went through the steps the first time, And when I did my first, like, fourth step, you know, I really, really got to see, you know, I thought I was such a good person. And I really got to see what an asshole I am. And I just, you know, that I had this destruction before working the steps. I had the destruction of food. I had to say goodbye to the food. That was the price I had to pay. And then I did this inventory, and I had to say goodbye to everything that I thought that I knew about myself and recovery and program and food and diets and this and that, you know, and turn everything over. And it has been a gradual process. It has not happened instantly. It has not been an overnight matter. But slowly but surely, it is happening. The promises are being fulfilled. And today, you are my cake. So thank you for that. And I love you all, and I hope that you have a wonderful day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jana M. Shawnee B., you're up, and then Sherry KB will follow you. Good morning, Shawnee.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
I will always let you
Thank
know.
Thank you so much. this is Shawnee B., compulsive overeater. And I was out of town for the weekend. I went away with my kids without my husband. We were away. And kind of, you know, when I'm reading here, a price had to be paid, I actually was thinking, you know, I was away with the kids alone, and so, like, obviously I was juggling a lot, but I was really, you know, my spiritual maintenance was not maintained the way I maintain it, like, with my routine. And, you know, reading that just made me really realize, like, as I sat down this morning to do my quiet time, finally, like, alone, you know, without the kids all over me, and then getting onto this meeting, like, really focusing, there's a price you pay when you're not spiritually fit. I woke up this morning with a million fears getting back into routine, and I know that, so, like, from both ends, like, I see it from both ends, there's a price you pay for lack of spiritual fitness, and then there's this price, you know, that I need to pay so that I can, like, function today through all these fears, which is, like, letting it go. And I've got, you know, I just have so much going on now, getting back into routine, and there's so much happening, and I feel like I need to really, like, I'm not at the point yet, and I keep asking God to help me to surrender, but I'm not at the point yet where I can get out of my own way. I keep, like, even during this meeting, as I'm listening to Sherrod, all I can think about is a million things I have to do. And the last line was really comforting for me. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. It's like I'm just this one little being, and I think I have to do it all, and I really just need to give it all over. So I really pray that I can, you know, refocus and, yeah, and always pay the price for, you know, for good and for serenity. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Shani B. And just before Sherry comes on to share, I want to let folks know that I'm going to open up the line for additional shares on this particular paragraph. And so that you know where we are, we're in Bill's story in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 14. And we are studying today only paragraph 1, simple but not easy. Sherry KB, it's your turn. Thanks so much. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line. And I just screwed up my timer. let's see here. So, yeah, this is a powerful sentence because what it's telling me when I think of self-centeredness, I think of my needs, my desires, that I used to always put myself first, even though I didn't realize I was doing that. I didn't realize how self-centered I was until I started doing this work, as what was said earlier, because it is a leveling of my pride and my desires and needs to put, you know, my higher power first and to put the wants and needs of this program and to be of service to others and to be of maximum service to people about me. Whereas before, I always relied on the Sherry Show, and I can't do that anymore is what it's telling me, because if I want this program, and it's telling me I must, right here, here's a must in here, turn in all things it says, and I pay attention to that word, in all things, all my areas of my life, I've got to turn over to my higher power, and so this new way of living for me is putting my higher power first, turning my day over to my higher power, checking in with my higher power throughout the day, asking my higher power, what's the next right thought and the next right action? You know, how do you want me to handle this situation, God? How do you, you know, sometimes when I'm upset at somebody, what I do is I ask God to help me to see them the way God sees them. You know, I just really noticed I'm a lot more happier when I do turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power, and that, you know, that I let go of that ego, that pride, the self-centeredness, and that, you know, my higher power is now running my show, not me. And so it totally makes a difference in my life. And, you know, it's been a buildup. Like, I know that how important it is to enlarge my spiritual life, because the more I do that, the more I rely on my higher power, the more I trust my higher power, the more I'm willing to turn over things so much more quickly than I did before. And I think it's like being in a spiritual gym. It takes time to build that up. And so by doing this work and by being in this book a lot, working with others, you know, putting my needs and desires set aside, it's not that I don't have wants and needs and they're not taken care of. They are. It's just that what I've noticed is that it's so different how my wants and needs are versus how they used to be. And I never thought I was self-centered at all, ever. Not until I did the work. I didn't realize until I understood the definition of selfishness because I heard a different thing growing up in my house. And so, you know, I didn't realize it until I did this work. And it's really opened me up. And I enjoy continuing this relationship with the power greater than myself to guide and direct me, whereas before it was always about me guiding me, directing me, running the show, putting my will first, telling you what I think you ought to do. And now instead I stop and pause, pray in new step 11, pray in new spiritual energy. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Sherry KP. The lines are now open for additional people to share on that first paragraph, page 14.
Diane.
Press one, please. Diane M.
Mer H.
Lydia T.
Mary H.
Wendy
and Lydia.
B.
Who came before
Mo
Wendy?
H.
Who came before
Pam
Wendy?
C.
Pam
Robin
C.
D.
And then?
Robin D. Z.
Hang on just 1 second. I want to make sure I got the folks in order here. I heard Pam C, and then somebody came after Pam, and then I heard Mo the third one. Was that Mary H.? No, Mary H. was after.
Anna B.
We'll take you. I've got myself a little bit out of order here. Let's go with Diane, Mary, Lydia, Pam, Anna, and Mo. Hi, Diane. You're first. Diane M., are you still with us? Star one, if you have inadvertently been muted. If we lost Diane, let's go with Mary H. Are you still with us, Mary? Just because of
yes, it's actually Mer H.
Mer. Spell that for me, would you? I want to get it just right.
You bet. M-Y-R-R-H.
R-R-H. Oh, great. Thank you. I'll correct that.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay, you're up.
My name's Mer, and I'm a compulsive overeater and newer to A Vision for You, and this is the first time that I have tried to get into share. So, you know, this program has been really amazing for me. And I just got done finishing steps 4 and 5. And so I am right here where the destruction of my self-centeredness has been smashed. You know, my whole life, I just felt like it was somebody else's fault. I was this victim. And having to look at the fact that I had a part in these resentments that I had in my life has been so eye-opening. It's taken the sting out of those long-term resentments. It has just put a new light on my life, and now I look at everything different. So this is just all so fresh in my memory. And it was not easy. You know, it was simple to follow these directions, but to follow through with them and to continue to look at this over and over and over again, you know, it's ego crushing. It really is. I mean, it is swallowing a bunch of pride and being able to just let go of all that. So I'm looking forward to move on. And, you know, I can see where the next steps and the steps towards amends and stuff are so important in this whole process. So the price had to be paid, and that price for me was really putting time aside in order to do what I needed to do for these resentments, writing everything out. You know, my sponsor had me do a project when we were done with step 5, which is going back and reviewing everything that we had done and really taking a look at what my character defects were. And it's a long list. And I wouldn't have thought that, you know, I wouldn't have thought that before I started this process, but it's there it is in black and white. And so I'm grateful to have found this. I'm grateful to have had my eyes open, you know, without a higher power to help me get through this. I don't think it would be, well, it wouldn't be simple. It wouldn't be easy because my higher power is allowing my heart to take all of this in, you know, and it's really uplifting. And I'm just grateful. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. I'm grateful that I'm recovering. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Mer. That's Mer H. Diane, did you get back on?
I did. Thank you for your patience. Hi. I disconnected.
You're
myself.
Welcome.
I'll call back in. Thank you for your service. This is Diane. I'm from Michigan. And I guess I have a little bit of a different take on this. I've done a lot of hard work, and for 37 years I've been in this program, and I just joined with Vision about a year and a half ago, and it really completely changed my life and rocketed me into that fourth dimension. And my life seems so much easier today than it used to be. I always felt like my life just felt like a boxing match, always, just fighting against everything. And recently, my husband wanted to move. We were had just moved a year and a half ago, and I had dug my heels in, and I wasn't going anywhere. And that was a couple of months ago, and here I am today, driving to our new house in downstate Michigan, and everything has gone so incredibly smooth. My life just feels like I'm sailing instead of in a constant battle. And I think that that is the result of turning my life and my will over to my higher power and getting all that garbage out of the way that's good between me and my relationship with my higher power, and becoming more selfless and working this program as it was meant to be. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Diane M. Lydia T., you're next, and then Pam will come after you. Lydia T.
Hi, this is Lydia T. in Marquette, Michigan. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This paragraph just means so much to me. The simple but not easy. I like things to be simple. And I don't mind things being not easy either. It's the price that has to be paid. I didn't know that I was self-centered. I thought that I was the kind of person that did things for others and helped people. But I didn't realize that self-centered also could mean I want this outcome for, you know, for my friend or for my family. And so I'm going to put my hands in their business and my nose in their business. And I didn't realize that that's where my self-centered is, thinking that I have any control or any business in anybody else's business, even my own. Because the only person who knows what's best for me and for others is our higher powers, and that's it. And that to me was that was what wasn't easy, was really changing my belief about what being self-centered is. And that was hard, and it still is, and I have to be reminded. And if I pause throughout the day, which I find myself doing so much more now, and it seems to come easier, and if I pause and really think, you know, about what's going on or about what I'm about to say or anything like that, and I really turn it over to my higher power, the right words come or the right actions come. And my life is so much easier now. I'm so grateful every morning that I wake up and every night when I go to bed. I'm busy. I'm doing things that I used to view as being chores, and it doesn't feel like it's a chore to me anymore. And I want to give away what was so I want to give away what was given to me. And that's the best part of this whole program. And I didn't know that. And I think that's part of the destruction of the self-centeredness. I want to give away what was so freely given to me by everybody here on this line or anybody I've talked to on the phone. And of course, by my sponsor who lovingly took me through all the steps. And even when I was kicking and screaming, she was patient and loving and stayed with me. And that's all I would like to say. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Lydia T. Pam C, you're up, and then Anna B will come after you. Pam C. Let's skip right down to Anna B.
Hi, this is
Anna B. Oh, there you are. Okay, we'll take you.
Okay, sorry, I was discombobulated with the muting. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Florida, and I'm so glad to be on this meeting. This is the first, I've listened to this meeting a few times, but I've never shared before, so I'm very grateful for everyone who shared and everyone's service. I love this reading and this topic and everything about the big book and the destruction of self. Oh, my goodness. One thing that I've learned through this program and through my recovery is that I'm so grateful for getting over myself about my eating and getting over both feeling that I could control my eating, learning that was wrong, and also getting over the feeling that I felt bad when I couldn't control it, that I was somehow a failure and less than because I needed, quote unquote, the prop or the crutch of a program to do something as simple as, you know, put the fork down. But I've learned through this program that not only is that something to be grateful for and a tremendous gift, but also in other parts of my life, I've learned that I was running on ego and running on self, not only about the food, but about my work and my job and my relationships. And it was very ineffective, very unproductive, and very lonely because I was distancing myself from people that I loved, both in and out of program, because I thought I was different. I thought that my way was some special right way, and my ideas were somehow different than other people's ideas. I owe to OA, and I owe to the Big Book, and I owe to my wonderful sponsor, learning that being able to both be wrong and to admit I'm wrong and to be glad and grateful that I'm wrong and could admit I'm wrong are tremendous, tremendous gifts of this program. And I used to hate like poison apologizing for anything because that would mean other people would think I was wrong or they'd see that I'd made a mistake. And now I can see that as a putting away of the old crazy, ridiculous ideas that I lived with the whole first 59 years of my 60-year life, and that's not something to be sorry for or feel bad about. Admitting I was wrong for all those years is something I can feel grateful for and that I am grateful for. So saying I'm sorry, saying I was wrong, now I actually can do that. It's not always easy to do, but almost every time I'm grateful when I'm able to realize it and grateful to do it. And to me, that's really my take of how program in my life. I've put my ego aside, and I have to keep on doing that every day because it keeps popping back up. I want to thank everyone on the meeting and thank those who are doing service today, and thank everyone who's on the meeting but not sharing too, because having someone there to hear when I share is 12-step work too. So thank you very much, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Pam C. Anna B., you're next, and then Mo will come after you. Anna B., star one, please.
Hello, this is Anna B.
Hi.
Thank you for your service, Melanie. The paragraph, simple but not easy, I kind of relate to this with this infant baby I was helping my girlfriend take care of, and she had a lot of health problems, and everyone was going, oh, Stacy, you can't handle that, it's too much. But it really wasn't. What I had to do was minimal compared to what they were doing, but it, and it was simple, but it was serious. It was very serious. I had to take her temperature at certain times. I had to make sure her infection, things like that, that her medications are and her infection was like in check. And it kind of reminds me of this program. It's simple, but it's serious. If we don't do our work every day, if we don't, work our steps, use our tools, sponsor, make our phone calls, outreach calls, it seems to just, and they're all easy. These, what we do, it is easy when we do it. It feels really hard at first, but once it's done, it's like, oh, we check it off the list and we go on about our day, and it's good. But if we don't do it, we could spiral out again. And I don't want to go there myself. I've been there too many times, and it's just really hard. It's true. The older you get with this disease, the worse it gets, and the harder it is to get back in the swing. And with that, I'll pass, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna B. Mo H., you're next, and we'll have time probably after Mo for a couple more folks to share on that paragraph. Come on, Mo.
Hey, good morning, Melanie. Mo H., compulsive overeater, recovered in Walnut Creek, California. Oh, I was just looking at this simple but not easy, and I was thinking the opposite of that was complicated and hard. And I'll tell you, before I got abstinent this last time 3 years ago, my life was very complicated and difficult. Very. I mean, when I was in the food, it was just the opposite of all of this. Binging and all I could do was think about food day in and day out. And I mean, it's just crazy, 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 crazy. And then here Bill says, simple. Yes, it's simple if I follow the steps, but it isn't easy because I have to work the steps. And that's the price I paid. I paid the price when I was in the food. I don't want to pay that price anymore. I want to pay the price now in the steps. And someone once told me, it says here, I must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. That I'm not turning it over, I'm turning in to the Father of Light, turning toward Him, lean in. So I heard on a special edition was to lean in to my higher power. And when I'm struggling now today with life on life's terms, I really lean into my higher power. And I step back and I say, what would you have me? Well, how would you have me be of service? And what would you have me be, as it says in our fear prayer? Please, God, remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And it usually comes back to being loving, kind, compassionate, understanding. And, when I was in the food, I didn't think of any of that stuff at all. I was so selfish and so self-centered. All I could do was think about, the next bite, get out of my way, leave me alone. And all of that. And so today I have an ease and comfort with not only the food, but with life. And I'm so, so grateful for all of you on the line. Welcome to the newcomers and all those doing service. Thanks, Mel. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo. That's Mo H. So we do have time for two more folks to share this morning.
Wendy B.
Robin. Hi, Wendy. D. And Robin DZ. Gotcha. Hi, Wendy. You go first.
Yeah, hi. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And where it says simple but not easy, a price had to be paid. And you know, a price had to be paid. You know, I didn't want to pay a price. You know, I was always wanting the easy way. You know, I didn't want to work for things. I didn't want to grow up and take responsibility. You know, I wanted magic and instant fixes, and I wanted instant gratification. And that was, you know, all about my self-centeredness, you know. And so the price is destruction of my self-centeredness, you know, and I had to abandon my old ideas to make room for new ones, you know. And my old ideas were life was about finding what makes me happy, you know, arranging life to suit myself. So the price was I had to give up all the things that created a dependency in me, you know, so I could depend on God only. And, you know, and I can't make created things my God anymore, you know, and I get to worship the Creator. And so where it says I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us all reminds me of where it said in We Agnostics, described as the spirit of the universe underlying the totality of all things. And I just love those two descriptions of who I call God, you know, and he's the light that helps my mind to see truth. You know, it's like he turns on a light bulb inside of me when I hear a still small voice, you know, when I hear a share or read something that jumps out at me. And he's big, you know, presiding over the whole world, you know, the whole universe. He's bigger and more powerful than my limited intelligence can comprehend. And when it says, you know, he's underlying the totality of all things, it reminds me of, you know, he's holding all things together. You know, as I've heard my fellows share, you know, he's breathing me. He's pumping my heart. He's growing my fingernails. You know, and he knows every hair on my head and every thought in my mind. And so when I accept, you know, he's God and not me, you know, this is his world to run as he sees fit. I get to surrender every morning, you know, to follow his plan for my day. And I get to let go of how I think things should play out. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Robin DZ.
Good morning. I wanted to talk on you know, the surrendering part, turning in the things to the Father of Light. I have little daily reminders that I tell that help me work my program. And one is surrender your stubbornness and all the illusions that you have come to believe as solid truths over the years of your self-delusional thinking. Ask your higher power for courage to entrust your family, your food, your health, and your emotional and spiritual well-being to his wisdom. Ask for faith to believe that God knows best. Daily surrender your selfishness and self-centeredness. Stop asking God to fix others so that they don't irritate you so much, and start asking your higher power to work on what needs fixed in you so that you can live in harmony with others and be of better service to him. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin. DZ, that leaves time for a two-minute share if anybody wants to grab that up, or we can close, whichever you want.
Hi, this is Nirvana A.
Hi, Nirvana. Do you want to take that too?
Yes. So I just wanted to say that, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm from an old Persian religion, Zoroastrian. And in our religion, it's the same religion as Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody. It says good thoughts, good words, good deeds. And it's so simple, but it's so hard. And it always reminds me of the program, like, what's my next right thought? What's my next right action? What's my next right speech? It could be silence. And I always struggled with something that's so simple. How come it can be so hard? But I think after working the vision program for a while, slowly it's becoming clearer. And like what everyone was sharing, give it to God, pause, ask, and it will come. And thank you for all your service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nirvana. Thank you to all that shared today. We'll begin the process of closing up the recorded portion of this meeting. Appreciate all the service that was happening here today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer, and then stay with us. After that, we'll greet some newcomers. And would Wendy B. please read page 164? A book is meant to be suggestive only.
That's a good moment.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B. again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely to what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.